Once again, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus, finding victory over my addiction to alcohol, working on a couple of hundred other things. My name is Jack. Hello. It's nice to have the backup band in case I forget things like the best place to be on a Wednesday night or my name or the offering. I'll try to remember that later on. Who knows what else I'll forget. We're continuing on in our teaching series this week with our final lesson before we start back anew in a few weeks with lesson one, denial. But tonight is lesson 25. And this lesson, we just kind of look at, as we kind of have taken this journey throughout about a year or so when we started this in denial about a year or so ago, with the seven reasons that we may become stuck in our recovery. Those of you that have been on this journey, whether it's been all year, whether it's tonight your first night, whether it's somewhere in between there, we will find periods in our, in life in general. There are times in our lives where it seems like we're kind of stagnant. There are times where we're just overwhelmed. There are times where we have maybe a little bit of peace and serenity or some calm. And I always think it's very good for us to be mindful of whatever one of those phases or seasons we're in. And if it's one of those overwhelming, busy seasons, to realize that it's not going to last forever. And by the same token, when we have those kind of just, hey, everything's taken care of, things are good, I'm just kind of cruising along, that we realize that's likely not going to last as well. And that's not being pessimistic, that's just being realistic about how the ebbs and flows of life. And to what extent we either how we view those things or what we can do. And so tonight we just want to look at, as I say, seven reasons where we may get stuck. And I wanted to start with a quote from Confucius that I found. It says, "It does not matter how slowly you go as long as you do not stop." And many times, I think sometimes when we're feeling stagnant, we're actually not stopped. But we want to make sure that we're not, okay? In other words, don't beat yourself up for thinking, I'm just not recovering fast enough, or I'm not becoming close enough to Jesus fast enough, or whatever. Just realize it's important to just keep plodding along. And that simple phrase that we use all the time in this ministry, keep coming back, is one of those ways that we make sure that we don't stop. And that there's a little bit of progress. Sometimes just getting here on a Wednesday night is the only thing you've done for your recovery, let's say in the past week. That's okay. Other times you've been in a step study, you've been in the scripture, you've been in community with your recovery, accountability partners, you've been doing a lot of activity, let's say. That's good as well. So just realize it's a steady process. And so you've got your handout with some fill-ins tonight. And so let's just go through these. The first fill-in, the first reason or area that you may get stuck in is you have not completely worked the previous principle. So you have a lot of writing to do. We just put the why there, didn't we, in your handout. You have not completely worked the previous principle. So while we do the lessons and the principles and the steps here on Wednesday night, and anybody can come in at any time. There's no, I missed getting in here 12 months ago, and so I can't go to CR until next year. That's not the case at all. But there is a reason that when we do a step study, that 8 or 9 month process where we go really in depth and look at our lives, we do take the steps in order. We do take the principles in order because they do build upon one another. And so many times if we're getting stuck in our recovery, it's because we still have some unfinished business from the previous step. And that can start right at the very beginning. You know, we may have said in our head we're powerless. We admitted we're not God. And then I look at your life and you're still playing God. Okay, or I look at my life and I'm still making all the decisions instead of turning things over to God. I had an experience last week where I was down at the beach cooking for a bunch of people, high schoolers and their leaders. And I was also trying to prepare for a teaching that I did this last Sunday in big church. And that's a lot on my little tiny mind, okay? And what I realized is that if I was going to focus on both of them at the same time, I wasn't going to be able to do either one of them very well. And last week was the time for me to be present with the high schoolers and present with the food, making sure I wasn't, you know, adding Drano instead of salt or something like that mistakenly. And just being there to enjoy that. And I told my wife, because she was down helping me, I said, I've just got to really turn a large part of this teaching on Sunday over to God. You know, I had prepared, you know, I wasn't just last weekend and I read it. I've been preparing for, you know, months actually in some capacity or another. But I was just not a happy person earlier on in the week because I was trying to do too much. And so we want to make sure. So I had to drop that. I had not really previously, I wasn't previously working, you know, being down there with the high schoolers before I was trying to get to the message on Sunday. And it wasn't time for me to get to the message on Sunday, you know, down there. So sometimes we can get ahead of ourselves in our recovery. We want to leap through the steps. So just kind of think about that. If you're, you know, struggling in progressing in your recovery, kind of look at maybe, you know, what step might you be needing to do some additional work on. Maybe it wasn't completely worked out, okay? The scripture we have that goes with that is from Galatians. It says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And that is the idea of bringing yourself back to a Spirit-led life. It's not enough just to not do something. You need to start doing things like getting into scripture, getting into, you know, getting here on Wednesday, soon to be Thursday nights, calling your sponsor, reaching out to your accountability partners, things like that. So in other words, you need to be kind of taking some steps forward rather than just waiting for things to happen. All right, so that's our first one. The second one, second area that we may find ourselves getting stuck in, you have not completely surrendered your will and your life to the Lord. Big one here. Big one here. You will run into a barrier pretty quickly if you haven't turned your will and your life over to God in recovery. Let me just read the scripture that goes with this. For good judgment and common sense, trust the Lord completely. Don't ever trust in yourself. That's pretty direct. In everything you do, put God first and he will direct you and crown your efforts with success. I can't tell you the number of times that I've made bad decisions. I can tell you the number of times God's made a bad decision. It's very lopsided. Zero to a lot. Okay? And so making sure that we're constantly, there are so many, and what I think a lot of times is we get turning over some of those big things, as I call it, the thing that got us through the doors. And maybe we had a little bit of time turning that over, but eventually we said, okay, I'm going to turn that over to God. But all the little things in my life is what gets me. As I've been in recovery and in this ministry over the last decade plus, it is the habits that are the things that really I have to keep coming back to, or the things that kind of get in my way, the hurts, and, well, it's the hang-ups, really. It's the hang-ups, which really all kind of center around Jack. And so as we work through the hurts and the habits, many times it's getting to the hang-ups. And I know what I'll find is I haven't turned over a lot of the hang-up things to God. I've turned the big stuff over, not all the big stuff. But it's the little stuff that's holding me back, and it's just getting into a rhythm of turning it over. I can't tell you how many times I catch myself going, I'm trying to do all this stuff, and I haven't asked God, well, what might he think about this, or how could he offer some wisdom or some guidance? And it can be the smallest things. So that might be an area that you need to work on to get unstuck. You're still trying to do it all yourself. Okay, you get through the door. Sometimes God helps you with that too. Let God do the healing part in your life. Number three, you have not accepted Jesus' work on the cross for your forgiveness. You have not accepted Jesus' work on the cross for your forgiveness. You still feel shame, ashamed. You still feel like a loser. you still feel not worthy, not loved? You still feel like you're the only one that's ever done this, thought this, said this? That's not true. That's buying into the enemy's lies. Accept that gift that Jesus gave you. If you're not in touch with, that's one of my favorite parts about this ministry. It's a ministry where for me, I'm constantly having to examine where I don't make the grade. In other words, it's really, I joke about it, but it's actually probably pretty true that it's hard for me to go an hour without needing my Savior. I mean, there's a thought that pops into my head, or there's a judgment that pops out, or there's a word that just leaps out of my mouth. What happened there, you know? With enough training, I realized that I just need to come back and fully, tie my recovery into Jesus, but also realize by what he did, how God looks at you. Okay, and this is one of the things that's really mind-blowing. He looks at you as righteous and holy and perfect because his son's blood covers you. He's looking through that filter, okay? Yes, we're still in sin, in a sin world. Yes, I still screw up. Yes, I still need to confess, and yes, I still need to make amends and all those things. But because of what Jesus did, that's my identity now. That is my eternal identity. And so we need to kind of start shedding our temporal identity that we have. So have you truly accepted what Jesus did on the cross for you? 1 John 1:9, a verse that if you were in church this last week and you heard me mention a couple of times, but if we confess our sins to him, he can be depended upon to forgive us from every wrong. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that cleansing piece, as I was working on my teaching this weekend, it really, really struck home, because that cleansing piece is what moves us back into how he really sees us, how he sees us as the finished, perfected product, okay? When we're in the darkness of unconfessed sin, that's where we've lost the fellowship with him. So really understand what Jesus has done for you, and internalize that, and be grateful for that. And the more you do that, the more you'll act on that grace, and the less you'll keep doing some of those old behaviors, because you will just be more inclined to respond to the grace of that salvation, of that sacrifice. 4, you have not forgiven others who have harmed you. You have not forgiven others who have harmed you. It has been said that forgiveness is the key that unlocks the door of resentments and removes the handcuffs of hate. It is the power that breaks the chains of bitterness and the shackles of selfishness. I like how John Baker wrote that in there. If you are still holding those resentments, if you're still trying to get revenge, if you're still trying to get even, if you're still trying to get them to see it your way or whatever, that's just poisoning yourself. You need to offer that forgiveness. And sometimes, as I've said up here before, you forgive and then you need to re-forgive because you start holding the grudge again. You know, you're good, today's, I've got it, yeah, peace is in me, serenity and everything, and then something happens, something triggers, and all of a sudden now you're back into, oh, but they should pay for that. Heard a message a few weeks ago from our lead pastor here, and he talked about know that we worship a completely just God. He will right all wrongs. It is not up to us to do that. It's just likely not going to happen in the timeline that I want it to happen in, because sometimes I want that to be immediate, you know, the karma thing. sometimes I want to see it over a life, and all what I do is I find myself rejoicing in somebody else's suffering. And that's not right. That's not healthy for me. That's not going to grow me. So perhaps forgiveness is an area that you need to work on and is kind of stopping you from progressing fully in your recovery. Number five, you are afraid of the risk in making the necessary change. You're afraid of the risk in making the necessary change. For many years, I wanted to quit drinking, but I didn't quit. I just kind of wanted it. I was not willing to make the necessary change initially, which is to not drink. But even in recovery, after I stopped the drinking, then there are things like maybe you're afraid of failure, so you're not stepping out in faith. Maybe you do need to start hanging around some different people. Maybe you do need to get a different hobby. Maybe you do need to put some covenant eyes on your computer. Maybe you do need to change, you know, where you recreate, how you recreate, what shows you watch, what books you read, you know, those type of things, because they are having an adverse impact on you. We all are different in how we handle what the world throws at us. I feel personally that I can still listen to a fair amount of secular music. I'm still listening to, you know, stuff in the 1970s, and be, you know, not have Satan take me away. I have noticed the lyrics, because I never pay attention to lyrics. I'm a music guy. I like the sound. But now I've paid attention to the lyrics more as I become a believer, as I become a dad of two daughters, things like that. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. Not what that song says. Not sure that's good. But sometimes, for some people, that's a trigger. Okay? So you really need to start knowing thyself in this recovery process. And some of those relationships, some of those places, some of those hobbies, some of those shows, some of those whatever, it can be hard to break that. But you need to make that necessary change. Okay? Number six. You're not willing to own your responsibility. You're not willing to own your responsibility. You're still trying to play the blame game. And for those of you that have been hurt multiple times by multiple people, I understand that. That's a large hurdle for those out there that have that hurt by others in their past, whatever that might be, physical, sexual, social, verbal. I was the one tending to make everybody else's life a mess with my addiction. So people didn't hurt me. I was hurting them, okay, with my behavior. So I haven't had to walk, you know, that walk. But I certainly didn't. It took me, you know, 20 years to quit, or maybe it's only like 7 years to quit drinking, is because I wanted to blame others. I didn't want to own my part in it. You know, I started where a lot of alcoholics do. I wouldn't drink if you didn't do this, you know, kind of thing. And then eventually that became silly. But I still wasn't owning my part. Today in my life, as a sober person in recovery, life is much harder for me because I have different feelings now. I actually have a conscience. And I still want to do the bad thing. I still want to do the wrong thing. I still want to cut the corner. I still want to cheat. And I still want to lie. I still want to steal. I get stuff and it doesn't cost me any money. That to me seems like a good deal. Okay, that's the old Jack Sick thinking. I have all these new feelings now that I've become sober, follower of Christ. That little voice, I'm actually paying attention to it. Things like that. And also that goes into my behavior. I'm having to own a lot more of what's my excuse now. I remember when I've gotten to early recovery, it was a major victory to go to work and not drink. I think I've probably shared this with you guys before. I was proud of myself for not drinking an entire day at work. Most of you that don't struggle with alcohol, you're thinking, that's kind of normal, Jack. That's what people do. They go to work and they don't drink. So what's the big deal? Okay, they're right. Okay, but that was a process for me. So having to own the reality of my, you know, where I was and where I am. So make sure that you're, as we say, keeping your side of the street clean. That's the only thing you really can control. And I promise you, at least if your life works like mine, as you do that, as you own your responsibility, you take care of your side of the street, as they say, the people that you're hoping to change will change. because you have changed. You are influencing them without telling them, without threatening them, without blaming them. You are just living a better life. And they will see that. And things will change in your life, I promise you. But as soon as I start going out and trying to change them, trying to blame them, I'm stuck. I'm not making progress. Number seven, final number seven. Here you go. You have not developed an effective support team. I love the immediate accountability of this ministry. I walked back to the back booth, and I actually had already talked to Dirk because I realized I hadn't welcomed you to Celebrate Recovery, hadn't done my daughter's favorite part, the best place to be on a Wednesday night, and all that type of thing. So before I get back to the booth, Walter's already telling me, yeah, you missed that one. So I love that immediate accountability. Accountability partners, sponsors, getting a community of people around you is vital to your recovery, vital to you being unstuck. We all have blind spots, and they're called blind spots for a reason, of course, because we don't see them. You need others to help you with that. You need others to encourage you when you're feeling being too hard on yourself. You need others to poke you when you're being too easy on yourself. We need one another in this journey. And so if you are coming to CR and isolating, that's not good. A lot of people, that's what they were doing outside of CR. Then now they're just going to a recovery ministry. And so you need to be getting into community. We kind of force that with the small group time here. But I'd like you to take it a step further and show up for dinner if you're not, if you can. I mean, obviously you're working, you can't do that. Stay later and have some dessert and chat with folks. If you're getting a prayer card from somebody, reach out to them. Pray for them. Call them. Even if I've called people and said, I forgot to pray for you, but I'm reaching out, you know, because I'm a slouch, and I forgot to pray. Or if I need clarification, sometimes I can't read their handwriting, or I wasn't sure what they meant, you know, just reach out, okay? Get a community of people around you so that they can help you become unstuck or keep you from getting stuck. So those are our seven areas that we may find ourselves getting stuck. Hopefully, I want you to, like you to meditate on those, look and see where you're at in your recovery, stuck or not. Let me just kind of give you the daily routine here just real quick that from the leader's guide that you should be looking at. Daily, continue to take inventory. And when you're wrong, promptly admit it. So that's kind of assessing yourself and owning things. So something we talked about. Daily, study God's word and pray, asking God to guide you and help you apply his teaching and will to your life. That's going to bring you back in touch with what Jesus did on the cross. That's going to make sure that you're looking at the forgiveness that he's granted you, so you are more likely to forgive others. That's going to help in that respect. So that takes care of a couple more of the things we talked about tonight. Daily, work and live the eight principles to the best of your ability, always looking for new opportunities to help and serve others. Not just at your recovery meetings, but in all areas of your life, okay? Getting us out of ourselves is a key component to recovery. So whether that's service here, service at your church, service at your kid's school, service to a complete stranger you see struggling, get out of yourself and do those. Let me close with prayer tonight. Heavenly Father, I ask that you help us see the areas that we might be getting stuck. I ask that you, if it's anything in regards to your grace and your mercy and what your Son has done to us, that you would just fill us with that Spirit even more. Whack us upside the head and let us know how much you love us, how much you care for us, how much you sacrificed for us, and how you actually, truly, really see us. Let us connect with that powerfully tonight and going out from tonight. Lord, I ask that for those that are stuck, that you bring people into their lives to help them get unstuck, that you give them the courage to ask for assistance, that you give them the courage to ask for someone to be their sponsor if they don't have a sponsor yet, that they take the step of accountability just by asking, hey, could you hold me account? Could you call me once a week and just, you know, check in on me, something like that. That you just give them that courage and that power to do so. Lord, we are so grateful for you, for your Son. We're so grateful that you've brought this ministry into our lives, and we pray that we just continue through this ministry, through your word, to be more like you. Amen.